Without faith, I'm very lonely at times. That's off the record.
Where'd that come from?
Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. All of these principles are absolutely true. And binding and loosing is a principle that is so powerful in the life of a born-again believer. And it is true what you said. A lot of times people, whether they don't, maybe they're not there yet and they don't have the confidence that they can bind anything. Some of you haven't been here as long as others, and forgive me for repeating this about binding something. But when Faith and I got saved, we had a couple friends that followed us to Florida, and they came out of the same group of hippy-dippy dope days as we did. But they hadn't come to salvation yet, but they were still very close friends of ours, so we would always stop by their house and share little things of, since becoming Christians, what we had noticed the Lord was doing in our lives, to kind of point them in the way that we didn't take a bad turn. It was a good turn. But before we went in the house, this is something we learned about binding and loosing. We laid hands on the side of the doorway before we went into their house. And we bound all the powers of darkness. To bind means to render helpless for a period of time. So you know that it gives you a window of opportunity. And so we went in, and it was really good that we had spoke the words we did outside, because when we got on the inside, we saw our friend Lenny sitting at his computer, and he just had this great big Cheshire Cat grin that just burst all across his face. And he was so excited. He wanted to tell us our future. And I said, wow, then I want to hear Rick Blaisdell preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he goes to his computer, and unbeknown to us, he pulls up a tarot card program that he had installed in his computer. And he boasted about how it was like a hobby to him. Now, there's other friends, he could tell them their futures by reading these cards. And the funny thing of it was is they didn't work when we were there. And he got more frustrated as time went on, and I really, really wanted to tell you your future. We ended up staying there for nearly an hour, probably. We had been to fellowship and was on our way home for lunch. And we left him extremely frustrated. And I don't know if you've ever been frustrated with a computer or not, but it happens to some of us at times. Well, he was in that state of extreme frustration, to agitation, irritation, and I think a little bit of anger maybe, because he was so confident. And it wasn't long in the car on the way home, it's like we both just started laughing at the same time. We figured out why the tarot cards didn't work. Because outside, before we even went in, we bound the spirits of darkness and deception in that house before we went in. And just got caught up in the conversation of being with friends. Didn't really get religious about it. The topic never came up again. It was just something we did outside before we went inside. And I would say, having learned that early in our faith walk is very, very valuable. And it's part of intercessory prayer, too. It's really good to take heed, because Jesus said, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. But oftentimes Christians think, well, God bound it in heaven, so it's bound on earth. No, it's exactly the opposite as you think. Whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. God is waiting for you to exercise your cooperation. He needs your participation. for our participation, and to really use that in your neighborhood. We've seen palm reader shops close up by doing that. I think Barbara shared that several times. There was a place in Chester that was practicing something, and every time we went by the house, just driving by, we bind the works of darkness over that house in the name of Jesus and carry on and not even give it another thought. And it wasn't very long. The place went out of business. We saw that in Florida a lot while we lived there, because you might not get the physical chance like we did to go to our friend's house, but the spirit realm is very real. And you can bind spiritual activity that's not of the Lord. That means to render it helpless. But the idea is to give you a window of opportunity to be free to share the hope that the gospel gives. Because ultimately, that's our desire, is to see our friends and relatives saved. But along the way, binding is very important with intercession. Binding is you're very actively involved in waging warfare against the enemy of your soul and the souls of your friends and unsaved relatives. That's a very important principle. That wasn't what I was going to talk about, but that's what I just talked about. Interesting how that kind of happens around here, isn't it? I was going to come back to our list about speaking words of doubt and unbelief and the results of that. And I haven't forgotten my list, and I know somewhere you probably still have yours stashed. And we had gone down through, I prayed and it didn't work out. I'll never get ahead. I'll never get those debts paid. I'll never have the money to make the car payment. You just watch. We'll lose our car. And on it goes. It's flu season. I always get it. But those are things that you learn to bind. You know, what did we just read from Psalm 91 a week or two back? What did it say about sickness and disease? Did it say, I think I'll just leave the door open and let them come on in and serve them breakfast in the morning when I get up? No, you bind them. You render them helpless to function in your presence. And that's really very important. But it's true, so many times in the beginning, you want to ask God to do stuff that he's anointed. Jesus Christ died to give you the power to do that. And if you don't do it, it's almost like you really don't believe the power that he gave you. You wouldn't maybe not say it out of your mouth, but by a lack of doing it, that is what we're saying. Yep. Father, I know that you did that for the apostles. You know, we can give you that, but what about us? Jesus said, whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose, so you loose the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't just freely go wherever he wants to do and disrupt people's lives. I mean, it may feel like that, but his ultimate goal is to save souls. And there's a lot of spiritual opposition to the salvation message because people's hearts are getting hardened all around us. And that's why the grace message comes back. We don't want to get hardened hearts towards unsaved people. We were so unsaved. We were unsaved at one time. Right. So use the authority. God gave it to you. And that's how the church grows. But that's how the kingdom of God increases. He delegates his authority through his church. God delegated all his authority through Jesus Christ. Well, we're now the body. He delegates that authority through us to function. Yes, of course, he'll always be sovereign. But he functions and works through his body. Each one of us that are willing to let him. And that's not a very much talked about thing. It is here because how can you live without the power of the Holy Spirit? How can you have any kind of a quality of life without the Holy Spirit? Yes, we talk about the Spirit all the time because he's the one that's here with us. Jesus said, I'm checking out of Dodge, you know, but you're not going to be alone. You don't have to worry about that. The Comforter's coming, whom my Father will send. But it's expedient for your sakes. I have to leave first. There's a sequence of events that unfolds in that. The Spirit didn't come to indwell us until Jesus physically, literally left. Then the Spirit came. and indwelled us. And people became born again. So keep that in your toolbox. You know, Don left his bag of tools. There were some certain screws that hold those air conditioners in the window, and I thought they were Phillips screws. So I had this nice Phillips screwdriver all set out. And then I went and I looked at the screws, and I says, oh, drat, they're not Phillips screws. They're another kind. And I looked in his bag, and lo and behold, down in the bottom of his little tool bag that he left me the other day at the house was the exact same thing, the tool that I needed to hold those braces under the air conditioners this morning. And it's the same. Look in your tool bag to see what you need for the rest of your day, because for sure you're going to need something to get you through the rest of the day besides lunch. You know, you're going to need these things. So praise the Lord. And we can't say that we're blind to these things. We were told generations ago these days would come. And so a lot of our growth and growing in grace too, it's part of preparation for such a time as this that God has raised our generation up to be able to stand against. Actually, there are several spirits that international intercessory prayer groups have been praying on behalf of our nation. The spirit of greed and lust and power over Washington, D.C., that people go there with the right desires, but without knowing, they've kind of come in under those spirits. And so a continuous binding of those spirits is very important, the spirit of lust and power and greed, because those three work together. And check out who the statue is on the roof of the Capitol building sometime. That's your homework assignment. And you'll find out with the cap right up on the top, the statue. And then look into the background of the person that the statue is of, and you'll see the source of the evil. And they come under that influence, but with the power of the church, the body of Christ, we're a small portion of that. But God never called us to be a majority, and the body of Christ has always been a minority, which shows we depend on the power of God. We don't have to be many, but we can be very effective, like you said.